Can I ask people to start getting ready to actually hold a meeting? If there are people, and from staff, if there are people outside of our room, perhaps you could try to herd them inside. Ladies and gentlemen, can we please be ready to start? Okay, may I call the meeting to order, please? First item on the agenda is a 10-minute discussion, 20-minute discussion on the ICANN Academy from the ICANN Academy Working Group, or a report from the ICANN Academy Working Group. I turn it over to Sandra.
Thank you, Ellen. And Sandra Hoferichter speaking. Well, yesterday's meeting was unfortunately at a time when many people from other communities could not attend because they were they had some conflicts with a session going on in parallel. But however, I was very happy that many of the at-large community members could participate. And it was quite a dynamic and active meeting. The main discussion, the main discussion, was to discuss a first draft of a website. And I would like to ask to, it's just loading. Chris Gift and his team, they created a first draft for a website, how a landing page for the overall academy and not only the leadership training program could look like. And this was up for discussion, and it was a very preliminary design, and we agreed on some changes, and it would be helpful now to have it to explain you what has been agreed. I just take this minute and like to underline that this landing page is not only for the leadership training program but for the whole academy approach. This is still misunderstood by the community, and the leadership training program, which will probably going to happen as soon as it is confirmed within the budget in Dublin, the 3 days before the Dublin meeting in October 2015. For this leadership training program, we will make a first subpage ready, including an application form and details about the program. So here we have the first slide from yesterday's meeting. It's the first draft of this website. And, well, you cannot really read it, but I might explain you the elements which are on. There is a Twitter feed, there's a calendar. There is a sort of member section, and there are sections which lead directly to the programs which are already existing in ICANN or which may be come up in the future. The working group yesterday agreed that we don't need a Twitter feed, actually. Instead, we rather have a section where the next upcoming 5 events are displayed. Also, the terminology academy members was somehow misunderstood and is misleading, because there is no membership within the academy. It's an open working group. It will be a cross-community working group in the future, or it is actually, and it will be more formalized. And there is no steering committee or no membership, which the way it is presented here. But still, as it is a very first draft, we can see this more or less as a placeholder. We were very happy to see that it is incorporated in the overall design of the official ICANN.org website. You see this in the header. This is actually the same design as you get when you type in ICANN.org and when you are on the starting page of ICANN. It was furthermore agreed, and this was a proposal made by a GAC representative, which was very helpful, that we should actually try to look at each program or at the accessibility of during the website of each program from different angles. So to say that you, when you come to the Academy page, you can either choose, okay, I'm a newcomer, I'm an experienced leader, I'm a contributor, I look what's in this section for me, or you can choose by stakeholder group, so that you say I'm a GAC, I'm an ALAC, and I look what programs are there. Behind these links you will find probably sometimes the same programs because there are overlaps as we identified in this working group already. So the idea is to make it as easy as possible to access each program if we're looking at it with the eyes of a visitor from multiple angles. That was actually the main idea of how to revise that first draft of the website. The second agenda item point was how to transform the working group, which is still officially named an ad hoc working group under at-large leadership, into a cross-community working group, and various options have been discussed. It was proposed that we should not call it an official cross-community working group, as there are rules and procedures under development, and some rules and procedures are already existing, which would actually not apply to the nature of the Academy working group, which is cross-community, yes, of course, and it's inclusive, but it's open, and we do not necessarily need to produce a charter, although we agreed to have some sort of document to explain the mission of this working group, so we might end up drafting a mission statement. It should, of course, have a more stable backing with chairs and co-chairs, and but it does not necessarily meet the criteria of a cross-community working group, which is, as Ellen told us, a working group set up for a special purpose with a special result. This is not the case here. This will be a standing open group with incoming, outgoing membership for undefined duration. I think once the Academy is really up and fully working, it will be a sort of a permanent standing working group or committee or however we call it. And then the third agenda item was first look out on the next leadership training program. As mentioned already, it depends on if it will be approved in the budget, which will be around May 2015. So far, I do not expect that this program will not be approved again, so we are starting planning the next program, the next agenda. The outcome from the LA meeting was that it should be even more customized to ICANN matters, especially the facilitation skills part should be more customized purely on ICANN matters and not too general. And we will start now to set up a drafting team for the next agenda. This will be circulated by the mailing list as well as the other information I just provided you here. And then we will start with the outreach to all SOs and ACs during the Buenos Aires meeting. We will produce a flyer or a postcard which explains in short what the leadership training program is aiming for and who are the target groups. And then it will be most likely the best case if those who participated already in the leadership training program and with the assistance of myself to reach out to each SO and AC and invite them more personally to send their community members to the next leadership training program. And by then, we expect to have a subpage ready, which makes it also easier in the process to receive applications, to upload biographies, and to make it more usable also for staff, which were in the last 2 days handling this more or less very flexible, and we should get into a more professional stage now how to apply and handle participants and so on. That's from my side. I remain for your disposal questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sandra. We started about 10 minutes late, unfortunately, so we will shorten each of the three 20-minute presentations or presentation discussions to be about 16, 17 minutes. So we will end on time. We'll talk about starting late later in the agenda today. Olivier, we're going to be using a one-minute timer. with a beep. The beep means something. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Alan, and I've lost 3 seconds. You've started it 3 seconds early. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I came in and out of that meeting that Sandra was running the other day, unfortunately, because I had other commitments. But when I did hear about not having it as a cross-community working group, my personal thought is I would disagree with this. The cross-community working group on internet governance does not have a set a set target or a defined amount of time. It was created to bring the input of the ICANN community in wider internet governance issues and to guide the ICANN staff and the board in their deliberations outside of ICANN. So there is some flexibility there, and this is being demonstrated, and the group has been ratified by SOs and ACs out there. Thank you.
I'll respond to that since I'm the one who strongly objected to it being called a cross-constituency working group. Number one, if I as the chair of ALAC were to go to the other chairs and say we want to set up a new cross-constituency working group right now, I think I would be stoned. And I'm not all that eager to be stoned. And I suspect a different, slightly different title, and we're just talking about a different title, will be better received and will be better understood by the community. So I really don't want to have really substantive discussions on the name of a group. We have done that in the past. I don't think it's the best use of time. It's well understood what we're talking about. Yes, Tijani.
Alan, I don't think it is, Tijani speaking, I don't think it's about the name, it's about the nature of the group. It is a cross-community working group. We don't call it like this, I don't mind, but it is a cross-community working group. And if it is not, it will not be an ICANN academy, it will be an at-large academy.
There is no question we're looking at a cross-community something to oversee the academy. We cannot legislate participation from all groups. We will certainly solicit it and strongly encourage it. Thank you. Olivier, let's not make the whole session the debate on the name of the group, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. Olivier speaking. And I wanted to then add to this. Perhaps one step forward would be to find out under what name, umbrella, or how this would be something that would be embraced by all SOs and ACs. A working party, okay, we've ruled out cross-community working group, but working party, or I don't know what there is under the ICANN bylaws that allows for something like this. What is clear is that this needs to be formalized, otherwise it will not be taken seriously, and that's what I'm really worried about.
I think that was agreed to in the working group meeting. Sandra.
Just a very small reply. I agree with Ellen that we should not overdue finding a name for it. In fact, this was always called Academy Working Group or ICANN Academy Working Group, so I don't think there is any need to change that nature. So if you say it's a cross-community working group and we say it's the Academy Working Group, I think we just have to fix the structure behind, but it will always be named ICANN Academy Working Group. I don't think we can force the community to change it and say, okay, from now on we say ICANN Academy Working Party or ICANN Academy Steering Committee. This wouldn't work. It will always be named Working Group, full stop, and we just have to find a structure behind which makes it formal, illegable, accountable. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Any substantive discussion on the issue instead of the name? By the way, we did suggest yesterday to make sure that all adjectives are properly reflected, that it should be a cross-constituency, regionally balanced, gender balanced. And we had a few more something or other. I want to see a good acronym for that. But please, let's not talk about the name any further in this meeting.
Alan, it's Olivier speaking. You're looking at the finger. I'm pointing at something. What I'm pointing at is that we need to formalize this. If it's not formalized in ICANN, one way or other, in whatever name it is, it's not going to be taken seriously. That's all.
As I said, I think the working group made a strong recommendation to that effect right now, and Sandra reported on it. We can say it a few more times, I guess.
But what are the next steps? How can we formalize this?
Charter.
I think we actually said,
I think we actually said mission. I think there's some strategizing that has to be done. I'm not sure it needs to be done with 40 people in the room. This is a reporting session, not the working group meeting. Any other comments, thoughts, direction? Fatimata.
This is Fatimata Cecilia. I would like to know the periodicity of the leadership training program. My question is induced by the fact that if we take the leaders in 1 year and we train them, and the terms are like 2 to 3 years, how many leaders will you be training the following year?
Thank you, Fatimata. I think that's a really good question. I think part of our problem is we use the term leadership training in the context that everyone on the ALAC, every regional leader, everyone on the GNSO is a leader. And they are indeed leaders of the overall community, but then there are leaders of the leaders. So I guess maybe they're leaders squared. But I think the real point is, ignoring the term leader for the moment, the number of people we can process, excuse the expression, in one session a year is probably insufficient. And I would like to think that the new academy, whatever it is named, will be pushing for more than one session a year. It's certainly easy to do it when people are incoming, but I would suspect that at least a part of those who have been taking it at the annual general meeting are in fact people who were around before, and therefore it would not be inappropriate to do it before other meetings also. Whether the staff and other people could sustain the load is a different issue, but I would think a reasonable thing that would eventually come out of the academy is more than one of the leadership training programs a year, or multiple ones in parallel or something. I would hope that would be an initiative that would come out bottom up, be requested, but will remains to be seen. I totally agree with the concept, though. Heidi?
Thank you. This is Heidi. For the record, one possibility might be to expand the leadership training program to the new meeting B, where you would have that first day on Saturday be some sort of engagement or training time as well as outreach.
Comments, questions? Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I am afraid we are still confusing ICANN Academy with the leadership training. It is not... The ICANN Academy is not for leadership training only. The ICANN Academy was created for the whole learning effort in ICANN. But the staff asked us to do this module once. And then now everyone is calling the leadership training as the Academy. It is not the case. And that's why Sandra now is speaking about cross-community working group, charter, etc. She wants to make it more official, recognized, so that we can really undertake the work of the Academy. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. For the record, I was not confused. I was talking about one component of the Academy, one that we actually have some experience with, and we think we could probably justify increasing its budget to become a larger, address a larger part of the community. There was certainly nothing in my mind that said it is the only part of the Academy. It was the part we were talking about in that intervention. Anyone else? Nope. Then we are 17 minutes into the meeting, and we said we'll have 17-minute sessions. Thank you very much, Sandra. This is now completed. The next session is the new GTLD Working Committee report, and I discussed with Evan ahead of time that we would spend a few minutes elaborating on the discussion that was held last night, which unfortunately had to be restricted to a very small number of people. You presumably got a fair amount of from what was discussed in the board meeting, but I would like to try to summarize what happened at that meeting, and then I'll turn it over to Evan for the rest of his session. Essentially, who was present? We had three people from the from at large. The people, it was Olivier, myself, and Evan. The people who have been the main, I won't say instigators of this whole thing, but have been most actively involved in it. From the GAC, we had four people representing the European Union, the U.S., and someone else, something else.
That's Olivia speaking. There were two people from the European Union and one person from the U.S.
And the chair. And
the chair. Yes, correct. That's who I was forgetting. The registries had a number of people there from a number of the prominent registries. Mason Cole was there as the liaison between the GAC and the GNSO and did not participate actively in the discussion. And Ron Andrew was representing the business constituency, James Bladell, the registrars, and I think that is all. We started off with the round table, starting with the GAC, the ALAC, and then the registries and registrar. Yes, Olivier.
Thank you, Adam. Olivier speaking. It's worth mentioning the meeting was conducted under Chatham House rules, so we will not be able to attribute any statement to anyone, but we are able to share everything that was said there.
Thank you. And it was convened by the CEO, obviously in conjunction with the new GTLD process committee, who had a number of members present at the meeting. We did a roundtable, essentially everyone presenting their positions, as it were, and then we did sort of a second round of rebuttals. As I said in the meeting, I was somewhat disappointed that there was not a lot of real dialogue, but just restating positions. A number of ideas did come out of the meeting, which may end up becoming real things. I think the point was made by both the GAC and the ALAC that we are not saying that there are 39 TLDs, and it turns out 39 is the current correct number that we're looking at, that there are not 39 TLDs that have horrible things associated with them and need to be changed in radical ways. We have always said, and that's what we said in our advice, we need to convene a group to look at them. My personal belief is that if we did that, probably half of them we would look at and say, the GAC was probably overreaching. There's no real need to have additional protections on these. Fadi, at the end of the intervention, used the example of .dentist as one of them, and he said if he had a domain, Fadi.dentist, would someone be misled? And I think my personal answer was, if someone's going to go to a dentist and let them stick their hands in your mouth, all because they own a domain name, you deserve what you get. But there are other domain names which are more sensitive and need a better level of protection, we believe. Some of them we know already have that level of protection and are not really being questioned. The other issue the ALAC had raised was we've received multiple statements over the years as to how compliance would enforce the contracts and specifically the PICs. These answers have ranged from we won't do that at all, file a dispute to go to an independent adjudicator if you have a complaint, which was a really, I thought, dumb thing to say that ICANN would not enforce its contracts. But at one point the answer was we will only enforce judgments from the independent panels. We will crowdsource. If we get enough complaints about something, we'll do something about it. The current position seems to be ICANN will enforce its contracts, and specifically we are asking for a written statement that if complaints come in from groups such as consumer organizations, regulators, governments, they will be both honored and honored promptly. And I think if we get that written statement, we ALAC no longer has a problem on that particular domain. The registries presented a number of what they considered facts, and are, although they are indeed facts, I'm not convinced they're very relevant facts, of the fact that some of these TLDs have already rolled out domains. You know, there are 17,000 domains in one of the registries and so forth, and they haven't seen a lot of complaints, haven't seen any complaints. And I also have never seen any of these domains live on the internet with anyone using them, so it's not really surprising. But in any case, that's sort of the summary. We didn't really come to a lot of conclusions. The intent was not to come to any conclusions, but to simply start the dialogue. It's the first time that a meeting like this has been convened in my memory and knowledge, and I'm very encouraged by the process, if not the specific way the meeting unfolded. Olivier, and we would like to go to turn this back to Evan at one point, because the meeting, this session was about, it was something that he was supposed to be running. So I'd like to keep this short.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. I just wanted to reiterate what Shireen Chalabi, the chair of the new GTLD program committee, mentioned during the ALAC with the board meeting. There were some action items or main points taken out of that meeting, and I thought I would read through them very briefly. For those people that haven't been able to make it there. The first one was to circulate the strings and engage in a triage. At the moment, there are 39 strings. We would then be able to find out what the severity of the potential fraud is on these domains, and also what potential mitigations might already be in place through the PIC commitments, public interest commitments, statements, and so on that are in the registry contract. The next one, number two, can we create a database of disclosed information that will help the semantic of the TLD? That's the concept of a trust mark. And these are just avenues to explore. Thirdly, there was a need for rationality and proportionality, and I think that fits with the other points when we start looking at the triage. PIC DRP fast track, which I think you mentioned in your summary, was also looked at.
Just for clarity, it's PIC compliance fast track or prioritization. Shireen used the term DRP, but this is not DRP we're talking about.
Okay, then we might have to come back to Shireen on this too. Clarify this. Thank you, Alan. Olivier speaking. Next, proactive rather than reactive monitoring on PIC enforcement. Number six, to gather more facts so that we can base our arguments on facts rather than anecdotal evidence of data. And I'm glad to announce that both members of the board, new GTLD working group, and myself have been working on this, so we actually have a lot more data now. Are PICs inside the picket fence was one of the big questions. This is, to tell you, any issue, if inside the picket fence, and we're not going to go into the description of what inside the picket fence is, but any issue inside the picket fence would need to be dealt with a PDP, policy development process in the GNSO. If they're not inside the picket fence, then a PDP would not be affected. And finally, as you mentioned, the letter from FIDE confirming PIC DRP compliance, complaint acceptance.
Just as a clarification of what you just said, a PDP on things which are not within the picket fence is quite valid, but it cannot unilaterally change a signed contract. The picket fence issue are things that will immediately alter a contract as it's already signed. There are many PDPs that affect going forward, but are not able to alter contracts. So that's the real issue. There's no point in holding a PDP to alter the contracts if it is, quote, outside the picket fence and therefore can't alter contracts. The registries a number of times have said, if you don't like what's in the contracts, run a PDP. And we still have not, despite several times asking ICANN and explicitly ICANN Legal to tell us, is it within the picket fence or not? Is it within the list of things that will alter a contract? Because if it is, fine. Then that's a good path to go on. If it isn't, let's stop talking about it. Holly.
Just a couple of things follow on. I'm a little bit concerned about the request for evidence. And coming from a sort of a consumer representation background, I've heard that enough to say, well, there's no evidence anybody was harmed. Well, you don't know. And I do have concerns about what do you mean by evidence, how many people have to be dead first. So I think we better treat that request with a little bit of concern. The next thing, I hope we're going to write this up, because I want to be going back to Australia. One of the things I am is deputy chair of the Telecommunications Consumer Group, and I would like to get their feedback. I think some of the things to be explored will be, even though I'm not necessarily in favour of the kind of trusted mark, it is a way of forcing people to put their hand up and say, actually, we are going to do something. I do like the idea of proactive monitoring, and I just think it's time for all of us to come back with some really solid responses to what's being suggested.
Thank you very much. May I ask staff to make sure we start the timer at the beginning of people's interventions, not halfway through. We have 5 minutes officially left in this session, and we haven't turned it over to Evan yet to speak. I have two speakers in the queue right now, Olivia and Cheryl. I know Evan would like at least a few minutes to talk about the new GTLD working group. Olivier, you're doing Atlas. There's 20 minutes allocated to that, which got shortened to 17. Are you willing to give up part of that? Okay, we'll continue. Olivier, next.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier speaking. So in response to your concerns, actually the requirement of real factual evidence rather than anecdotal evidence was asked by us, in that we were told, oh, well, we haven't seen anything, we haven't seen any problems ourselves. I think the ALEC would probably prefer to have well-researched results out there. There are a number of groups that do this. There is the anti-phishing working group that has done work on that. There is also a report by Arcatelus that is out there, and it shows that the phishing and fraud and so on are a significant concern. There's also a report from EMC which shows a $5.3 billion loss from fraud due to this. So, and that shows significant concerns. We'd rather have facts than being told, oh, there is no problem out there. At least I haven't seen it on my doorstep. Thank you.
Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record, and perfect segue to what I wanted to say. Thank you, Olivier. I think we ought, as the at-large advisory committee, we would be remiss if we also didn't make sure that we recognised an additional risk when anything happens in new and emerging entrants into the internet world, in other words, those who are less savvy in terms of the phishing and spear phishing and various other things that can happen. And, of course, we also shouldn't lose sight of once IDNs become more popular, it's going to be exponentially more problematic. And particularly with the case of fraud and particularly with the case of some cultures, it will be extremely difficult to get fact, because it will be seen as personal and embarrassing failure, and it will not become part of the metrics. So whilst I am 100%, as you know, behind getting me the facts, we also need to recognise those facts as a set will be limited by some of the social factors. So as long as we don't lose sight of that, I'm a happy girl.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'll point out your comment about certain cultures notwithstanding, even in societies that are about as in your face as in the United States, a vast number of personal violations, and I use that term carefully because we're including physical ones and people stealing money from you, are not reported. So the facts are always going to be difficult to point out. We did point out that this is very early in the process and facts are hard to get, and we also pointed out that it is rather difficult to prove a negative. So all of that being told, we and, although not in this meeting, at least one board member made a very strong statement that we're in this not just to protect consumers, but to protect ICANN. This is not going to look good for ICANN, and a poor ICANN, which is subject to criticism around the world, does not help any of our cases. Any other comments? No? Then quickly, before anyone puts it up, Evan, the meeting is yours for a couple,
okay.
A couple of minutes.
All right. I'll speak fast. I would speak faster, but we are being interpreted, so I'll try and talk well. Okay, a couple of things to notice. What Alan said about not being able to prove a negative has become very relevant in this. When we are told, well, we haven't heard anything, doesn't necessarily mean that nothing exists for reasons that have already been mentioned. I want to do a segue into the new GTLD working group meeting that is happening later today. We're going to be following up on a few of these. I personally want to go a little further into the trustmark issue that Olivier and Holly have both made mention of. This is the kind of thing that could provide a very good solution, does not require modifying any contracts, and does, at the end of the day, enhance public trust, which is really the end game of what we're trying to do here. And so we've been challenged to come up with solutions, and so that's the kind of thing that we need to look at. Another thing that was mentioned at the board meeting today, and this is probably not specifically to the new GTLD process, but I want to raise it as something that ALEC needs to consider, and that is how do we determine what we need to sound an alarm bell about? Because there's been a small number of occasions over the last couple of years where we say, this is important, this is important, this is important, and then they say, there's no problem. One of the big issues of the meeting yesterday is that half the room said, there is no problem. And the other half of the room said, yes, there is a problem. And half of the goal of that meeting was just to make sure the other side of the room realized this problem is not going to go away. And it took a call for a freeze at the LA meeting before this would even get on anybody's radar. We've been speaking about this, about PICs, since the PICs were introduced. We've had a problem with this. And it wasn't until we went to this very, very desperation measure of calling for a freeze that we got anyone's attention. We did. It worked. But I would prefer that we didn't have to go to this level of desperation to get something really important. So, Alan, I'm going to ask, as a general ALEC thing, that perhaps there's something that needs to be dealt with. How do we raise that alarm? We've brought this to Fatty's attention of how do they receive it. But we also need to figure out how do we elevate those critical things that we really need to get on their plate. Application support was one. Other things were there. And there is a small number of very high-profile things that have to be on the ICANN's agenda. Then we need to figure out a way to elevate that. So the last thing is, again, a plug for the new GTLD working group. We're going to be taking this into more detail. Heidi asked me at the beginning of this if I had slides. I didn't know what we were going to say until after the meeting with the board, so that was kind of hard to do. So I invite everybody to come. This is one of our critical policy issues, and so we need to talk about this, and I think there's some creative solutions that we can bring to this small, nimble, cross-community working group that I think may find some common ground, especially if we do something that doesn't muck with contracts. Any comments? Am I chairing this, or Alan, or you?
No, I'm chair. I'm trying to chair it unsuccessfully. my only comment about asking, should we report here? This meeting is primarily aimed at ALEC and regional leadership. ALEC and regional leadership were invited to the board meeting. I don't want to spend a lot of time here repeating what was said there for the few number of people who chose not to attend. So let's not go over everything over and over again. Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. Some issues for which we said there is a problem, people said no, there's no problem. For example, the string similarity and those singular and plural, and those and the two different panels giving two different assessments of the string, a very big problem. Other problems, the community evaluation. It is some application that was supposed to be a community application was not accepted as a community application, and yet they are community. So those are issues that are very important for us because it is a public interest, and we need to address them also. PEAK is very important, but there is other issues that are important too.
This is Evan. My quick response to that is this is beyond the bounds of just the new GTLD working group. This is a matter of ALAC and at-large doing its own triage of what are the things we need to flag as the most important things. That's beyond the scope of what I'm doing right now, but ALAC does need to address it.
Thank you. Other comments? Questions? Diatribes? In that case, we seem to be finished. Olivier? Well, Olivier's busy. Okay, well, I'll take a break waiting for Olivier. Break without leaving the table, however. Thank you very much. Olivier,
thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
The topic on the table is at-large review.
And I'm ready for it. And we have a set of slides on the left-hand screen. And on the right-hand screen, we have the agenda. Actually, what I wanted to do was to first start with the wiki page that we have about the at-large summit follow-up program. There is a team which is continued as far as the implementation is concerned of all of those 49 or so recommendations that came out of the summit in June 2014. We had to go through a categorizing of the recommendations so as to show the ones that are aimed at the board, the ones that are aimed at the ALAC, the ones that are aimed at staff, they're various ones. And you can see a set of wiki pages that have been built over time, first starting with all of the recommendations and then having a subpage with recommendations aimed at the board. During the last meeting that we had in Los Angeles, we presented a number of recommendations ready for board action. And there will be a follow-up with those that will take the sort of back channels and through staff and so on to find out with the response of the board if a response is requested, etc. Now, with regards to the ones we were going to present today to the board, unfortunately, we ran out of time. What I suggest is we could just go quickly through the couple of pages of what we were going to present. This was just going to be a status update rather than actually a full request from the board on these things. So the first one was recommendation number 16. ICANN needs to improve their direct communications regardless of time zones. What I'm going to do is to change microphones so as to be able to look at the at one side and speak at the same time. Ah, that's better. I was getting cross-eyed. Okay. I might be cross-eyed. For this, we had two assignees. As you know, the follow-up was assigned to our various standing working groups that we have, or to the ALAC, or to individuals. In this case, we had two assignees, the Atlas II implementation team and also the leadership team. And the status on improving direct communication regardless of time zones, I think the way it was interpreted is that we are a very, very geographically diverse community, and one of the problems is that it was, up to a recent time, always the same people that suffered as far as conference calls were concerned, etc. So there certainly is now an absolute increase in the rotation of calls. That's part of our DNA. The at-large calls are about to rotate around time zones, and making decisions within a 24-hour period is recognized as being a challenge, and this is avoided as much as possible within the at-large community, but sometimes, and we've seen that in cross-community working groups, others are not aware of this or don't seem to be taking that into account, but the ELAC members or at-large members of those working groups have made it clear that 24-hour turnaround time just doesn't work for us. No action required from the board on this. Number 26, current policy management processes within ICANN are insufficient. ICANN must implement a workable policy management process system available for use across all the supporting organizations and advisory committees. There were three assignees for this, the Social Media Working Group, the Technology Task Force, and the Capacity Building Working Group. And the status of this project at the moment, and this is a long-term project, we're not looking at just a quick fix. This is a project that really overhauls ICANN's information management system. The two status at the moment. There's one that is an ICANN-wide project, which I know that the SO and AC chairs are involved with directly, the project that overhauls ICANN's information management system. There's also some work going on between the Technology Task Force chair and ICANN staff into the Technology Task Force building a set of requirements for what we call a policy management process system. Once we have the requirements, and that takes some significant amount of work, then we will be able to find out whether this is something that is financially viable or possible or even something that is absolutely needed. I call upon anyone who has knowledge of these types of projects to step forward and help with this. Specification design for such projects is quite a complex task. Let's go to the next page, please. There are two more. Number 40, ICANN should offer a process similar to the Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program, the CROP, but applicable to short lead time budget requests not related to travel. That was allocated to the Finance and Budget Subcommittee. We note on this that as a result, a communications budget is available for FY15, fiscal year 15. And also, the ALAC is requesting the board to ensure that this budget continues to be available in FY16 through the SO and AC special request process. So, just to sort of clarify this, because we have been asked the question, what is a process similar to the Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program but applicable to short lead time budget requests? We're speaking about promotional material primarily, leaflets, but even pens and all sorts of little knickknacks that would really do great. You will have noticed that actually we have now these little business cards that we can pass on to people, and that's one of these things that went under the comms. We did not have to ask, you know, can we print some business cards to pass on to people? So that's next one, number 42. ICANN should enable annual face-to-face RALO assemblies, either at ICANN regional offices or in concert with regional events. The Finance and Budget Subcommittee was assigned this, and it met earlier this week. And we found that AFRALO, URALO, and NARALO are submitting requests for face-to-face general assemblies in the fiscal 16-year requests, and that's within the SO and AC special request process. So that's also being implemented. And that's all for the status at the moment. If you have any questions, I'm open to answer them. And, of course, colleagues in the Atlas to Implementation Task Force are also very welcome to add comment or ask questions or whatever else. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, pay attention, please.
Was just caught slightly unawares. I'm not used to you speaking for such a short amount of time. Comments, questions. Glenn.
I just want to mention, Glenn, for the record, that the technical task force will be dealing with that issue number 26 at our meeting that Judith and I will be co-chairing, and Dev will be online. So it's at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning.
Sorry, 26 was policy management process system.
I'll also point out that, as some of you are aware, there is a larger project that has been undertaken by ICANN at the explicit, I won't say request of, but demand is probably a better word, of the group of chairs, AC and SO chairs, that there is a significant problem in access to information on the ICANN website. The policy aspect is a subset of that. And Chris Gift, who most of us are familiar with, has been very recently taken off of his other responsibilities and put in charge of that project. And I've made him aware of what the Technology Task Force is doing, and there will be contact, and hopefully he will benefit from the work that the group has done, and moreover, there'll be an opportunity to make sure that his larger project at the very least encompasses the kind of things that we see as need in the policy area. Does anyone see any cards up? I don't.
Tough.
Holly?
Tough. My question, we did spend some time with Ariel, and who was the web designer? What happened with all that? Because we did spend some time saying, wouldn't it be nice if the following, so we could find stuff.
That project is going on. Ariel, I don't know if you want to make any comment, but the problem is larger than the website. The problem is information is often stored in random places, is not tagged appropriately so it can be found, often is duplicated. There's a whole host of problems that involve the web, because the web is our prime vehicle for distribution of information, but it's not a web problem as such. I've lost track of who is next. I think Eduardo is next, then Olivier, and then Judith. I'm sorry, Glenn, then Judith.
Am I next?
Then we will all defer to Fatima.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, I'm new at this, and I'm only learning how to do it. Thank you for your indulgence. I am calling on Fatima.
Thanks, Alan. This is Fatima for the record, and I will speak in Spanish because the jet lag is killing me. Ready? En este momento,
Fatima speaking. Nowadays, Alberto, chair of Lagrallo, is speaking with an interesting fellow. That person is interested in being an ALS. So I will ask a question that I'm sure Alberto would ask. And this is, if we come back to the previous slide for recommendation number 42, dealing with the different financial support to organize General assemblies in ICANN offices or regional offices, or in coordination with regional events. In the Lagrallo mailing list, we were discussing if for the Buenos Aires meeting it would be possible to have financial support for certain organizations, certain ALSs from Argentina, for them to be able to attend the meeting. without any need to comply with the same requirements for a regular meeting, that is to say, without having to be in the same hotel or without complying with certain requirements, for example, providing financial support for people coming from the other parts of the country and not from Buenos Aires, from the interior part of the country. So my question is, can they be included with this recommendation? Can we include this support for those cities or for those people coming from cities outside or different from the city of the event? Thank you.
In your request, if you can justify it and make a reasonable case for it. Am I speaking out of term, Heidi?
Well, in Buenos Aires, it's not fiscal year 16. So.
Sorry. You're talking about Buenos Aires, which is still this fiscal year. I would suggest you talk to staff privately offline and see if there's a way we can do something on such a short notice. For the future, if you're making a special request for support for a General Assembly or any sort of thing like this, just do it. I'm not going to guarantee it gets funded, but say what we need. If we don't make clear requests for what we need to be able to engage with our ALSs properly, then we will not have an effective organization. So we need to ask the questions. Heidi?
Thank you. This is Heidi for the record. Just again for meeting B, again, that first day of outreach, that might be a really good suggestion to make, to bring in local community members.
I have no clue whether I have the people in the right order, but Eduardo will speak next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to comment on what Fatima said, and you know, when I see that, I don't see Lac Rallo or even App Rallo presenting a request for General Assemblies, you know, for whatever reason. And I think these General Assemblies are very important to have for outreach and engagement of current ALSs, especially if you do it side by side to the ICANN with the ICANN meeting. So I suggest Lac Rallo and App Rallo to submit for General Assemblies and see if you get the budget to do it. Thank you.
Why not?
Thank you.
30 seconds.
Siranush Vardanyan for the record. Thank you, Chair. AP Rallo didn't submit any request because Singapore venue has been changed so quickly. We just knew about that 3 months ago, and it was in fiscal year 15, so we had no chance to apply for any requests. But for future Asia-Pacific region, we are looking forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you. It may be too much to expect to assume that there is a General Assembly in every single ICANN meeting.
Absolutely.
But on a regular basis, certainly. We have Glenn next.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. Glenn, for the record, as I was saying earlier, the not only the technical task force that's going to be on Thursday, but back to later today at 2:30, Ashwin will be here talking about the knowledge/information management system. So if you're really keen on that item number 26, do attend that meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Glenn. If he calls it a knowledge management system, he doesn't walk out of here alive. But other than that, yes. And next we have Olivier.
Thank you, but Glenn said what I was going to say.
Judith.
Yes, this is Judith Hallstein for the record. Getting back on recommendation 26, and Ariel also demonstrated the problem, people are not, as you commented correctly, assigning themselves tasks and following through on what it needs to be done when you follow a task and checking off the buttons. And I think it's also probably difficult for people because they're not really clear on how to do this. And some people are also not listed in profiles, so you can't tag them. And so that also makes it very difficult to assign a task to someone and to follow up when not everyone is listed.
Uh, Thank you, Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. An information, Tijani speaking. I would like to avoid any confusion between outreach and general assemblies. Outreach in the meeting B is for people outside ICANN to be reached out to them, while the general assembly is not the kind of outreach that can be put in this day.
Okay, thank you. I see no hands. We're 7 minutes over. Thank you for the discussion. All right, the next one is me. The topic of the meeting is ALAC effectiveness. Meeting effectiveness. There are a couple of things. I said most of them at the beginning of the meeting that should become, I hope, business as usual. They are not yet. And this isn't the main focus of the discussion, but I'll repeat them. We really need meetings to start on time. That means if you want to socialize, come early and talk to people. I really want to see people sitting at the table and ready to start on time. It's not fair when we set up schedules and assign tight time schedules to people that we take significant amounts of time away from them. So that's number one. We're using the timers. Hopefully we'll get a better timer in the future that we can actually read. But we really need to keep interventions short and concise. And I think we've done much better in this last hour than we have in the past, in that we have not had people repeating what was said by previous people just to make sure that it's said in their words instead of the other people's words. And I do appreciate that. I'd like to open the table now to a more general discussion of how do we make our meetings more effective. Certainly, you know, one of my campaigns is to try to do time management and make sure that we don't, on teleconferences, for instance, go way over and ask people to schedule a certain amount of time and then run later. We're not always going to make it. We're going to occasionally go over. We're going to occasionally readjust the schedule. But to try to set reasonable expectations. But I suspect that it's a much wider topic than that. What do you want to see in meetings to make it effective? We are asking people very often in teleconferences or the local meeting here to take time off from your real life, often time off from your jobs, time off from your families, to spend time on ICANN. I want people to believe they're using their time effectively. And, it may be nice to be able to do your email while a teleconference is going on, and that's productive at one level, but that doesn't really make sure that we're addressing whatever the issue is at hand. So I'm looking for input and thoughts about what do we need to do to make sure that when we ask you to take time away from your real life for ICANN, that it's being used effectively, productively, and that we get real work done. So I don't have a lot of answers, but I'd really like to hear from people. Yep, Tijani, Eduardo, Jimmy.
And Holly. Okay.
And someone whose name starts with an H.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. Holly and I sent on the list some ideas about how meetings can be more effective. It was on the list because we discussed this issue on the list before. And I want to repeat what I said. The first thing is the agenda, and I think this is something that is done now. We don't have problem with agenda. The second main important thing is not to have very long meeting, because people, when you exceed 60 minutes of meeting or of call, your concentration cannot be the same, and you will not be effective. The meeting will not be efficient at all. Third point is the length of the intervention of each member. I don't think that someone can speak more than 3 minutes without repeating himself. Whatever the subject is, we have to address exactly what we want to say, and that's all. And then we, okay, thank you. Last word. We don't have to take the floor twice for the same subject. Every member don't have to take the floor twice for the same subject. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tijani. Just to be clear, the bell going off does not mean you have to stop your sentence in the middle, but it really means you need to stop soon. I have no real problem with people speaking twice on the same subject if they have something different to say. And as discussions evolve, that's sometimes the case. There was someone after Tijani who was speaking who didn't keep their card up, who I think is Eduardo. We have Eduardo next, then Jimmy, Holly, Vanda, and Fatima.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of comments. First, I support what you're saying on keeping time. And, you know, if we're going to have a one-on-one work meeting or 90 minutes meeting, we should keep it at that time because then you can schedule your personal calendar. I will say the roll call that we do for every meeting, I think, I have seen in other meetings what they do is they say whoever is in the Adobe is present and who is in the audio channel, say I'm here, and that's it. Don't go through the whole list. The other thing is that I see also when, you know, we have an agenda and we have items and we go into, I don't know, action items, they get repeated. I guess that's for the record, right? I mean, they actually there. I mean, I'm reading it, what the action item is, so I don't need anybody to repeat it to me, which takes time. We just go and start talking about the action item, and that's just an example. So those are my comments. Thank you.
I hope you'll find in the ALAC meetings recently that we don't have an action, discuss it as an action item and as an agenda item. I believe we have fixed that in the case of those meetings in any case. Jimmy.
I'm going to talk less than a minute. And because a lot of correct things are already said about how we communicate. And that's my point, is that we've been talking today and the last couple of days a lot about how to communicate instead of communicating and discussing issues. I know it's important, but maybe we should, less talk about how to talk than just do it.
Thank you, Jimmy. Holly?
First, a compliment. I would like to acknowledge, and I'm sure we're all like to acknowledge, the fact that the meetings have been really close to time. Well done, Alan. The next point, and I've said it before, if we can have all of the important agenda items up first so that the people who are there can be part of the important conversations, and then the items at the end, if they're less important and somebody has to drop out, at least they've been involved in the really important discussions. Thanks.
Surely there's nothing on our agendas which aren't important. I'll let that sink in. Vanda.
I came out with something quite different from what we are talking about, but relative, because I was asked from people that is working with the board to raise one point that's quite important for them. That is business efficiency, business excellence, and to think about how we can implement business efficiency, business excellence in our task, and that they believe that ALAC can be one of the constituents that can be the first to do that. It's just because we are talking about that, about how we can be efficient, how we can get the most for our time, that I believe that's a time for raise this point, but not to discuss now. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Fatima.
Thanks, Alan. Fatima, for the record, in Spanish again.
I will also avoid repeating what has already been said, but just note something that, in my opinion, is relevant, which is that we should try to work with realistic agendas, because sometimes our agendas include so many things that we're not able to discuss them all. Now, specifically on the face-to-face meetings, in these meetings, we should try to avoid the same boring and extensive meetings we had for years with the same people in the same order, speaking about the same issues with the same questions and answers. These are not productive sessions. We do know that when we meet face to face and we have working, actual working meetings, these are more productive than several working teleconferences. So in my opinion, face-to-face meetings should be more of the working nature rather than meetings where we report what we have been doing in our working groups or in any of our activities. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Fatima. I put myself in the speaker list. I don't think I have any other speakers in the queue right now, but I will respond directly to you. If you see us doing it, tell us. And when we publish early versions of the agenda, we took a fair amount of the meetings out from this particular meeting that we normally have. We did not meet with compliance, for instance. There were a number of others that we've routinely done. If you go back a few years, we spent a half an hour at each meeting saying the same thing over and over again regarding translation. We don't have those anymore. It may come back one day, but at this point it isn't. So if you see ones that you think, you personally believe are not effective use of our time, call us out on it. Don't wait till after the fact. And if Leon should take on the responsibility of doing the agenda for the next meeting, and we haven't talked about it, I'm sure he'd appreciate an assistant. Two things. Number one, responding to Tijani. You said 60-minute meetings should be the limit. I don't believe the ALAC can cover its work in 60 minutes in a month. Does that mean you prefer to have two separate meetings scheduled for an hour each? Can I take a straw poll? Who would prefer two-hour meetings? That means perhaps a meeting every 2 weeks or a meeting on two consecutive days or something instead of the two-hour meeting. And who prefers to stay with the two-hour meeting? I'm afraid you lose. Thank you. The other thing that I'm rather surprised has not come up, and that is mailing lists. As a group, we do, with a very few exceptions, we do a horrible job of addressing issues and discussing things and presenting cases on mailing lists. Every once in a while, a subject comes up that there are 30 or 40 mail emails on an actual policy subject, not on a process subject. Sometimes it is a process subject. The discussion on should we have open or closed votes for ALS votes was one of the few ones that we actually had a substantive discussion and pretty well came to closure. And it was interesting in that some people posted a position based on what other people said, they changed their position, which is exactly what we should be doing, to move to some level of compromise. But overall, we use our mailing lists pathetically. I will say that. Those of you who are on any of the mailing lists, I don't see any. There's something going on my left, but I don't know what it is. Those of us who are on the either the CWG or the CCWG lists are inundated with mail. Yes. Perhaps a lot too much, but
there is discussion going on. We don't do that very much, and we really need to learn to do it. We cannot wait for a face-to-face meeting when we're so time-constrained to have every discussion. There just isn't enough of that. So I'm going to encourage people, and I will do a better job of raising issues on the mailing list, but it doesn't have to be restricted to me. So just a thought on that. Anyone from Australia want to talk? Holly, you're on.
This is why I really wanted the website to be so overhauled. If we actually had a really good place where we could go to one place on the website, policy, and then the links to where those discussions are, when we actually have a debate about issues and we can use Confluence, we can read each other's comments, comment on them, and we know that instead of having a mass of emails and somewhere in there there's a discussion, the discussion's all in one place, easy to read, easy to follow. It is now impossible to find this stuff unless you have tucked the email somewhere, and then you can't find the email. So there is a tool that would really help that if it worked.
I guess I'll give my answer to that. There are tools which are better and worse at some things than others, and there are people who are used to one set of tools and others. We're not going to fix everything. But the point I'm making is, and I use the term mailing list, you could change that to wiki.
Yeah, okay.
We very often have very, very little discussion on anything. Even if it's on a wiki, typically there are two people who are commenting back and forth or something like that. I have a personal problem with wikis in that they are pull technology. You have to go look at them. And I know we have a capability of doing reminders, and I personally get so many reminders I delete them because it messes up my email box. So there's no perfect solution, and I'm really not trying to prescribe what tool we use, but we must start doing more work intersessionally other than the one teleconference a month on the general ALAC work. We need to have substantive discussions, whether it's through email or wiki or whatever, because otherwise we end up having so many things to discuss at a meeting like this that we don't give them enough time. You know, it's not only the public meetings, the meetings with ICANN staff that take up our time. It's there's only a limited number. There's an hour meeting coming up on talking about ALS criteria and effectiveness. I've raised the issue once or twice on the email and end up getting no response. And I know everyone's busy. If you're like me, you take the emails which require substantive thinking and put them aside and never get back to them. it's a real problem we all have. We all have time constraints. All I'm saying is we need to get better at it if we're to use our time effectively at the face-to-face meetings and the teleconferences. Anyone else? Evan.
I'll put in a plug for the growing use of Skype and real-time messaging that exists. Neuralo has a Skype chat that's used internally. It augments the mailing list and has sometimes been very effective and has been used within at large. And it's not used for everything, and it, you know, one size doesn't fit all. There's some things that require real-time communications in which people can chat and talk to each other, respond immediately, and sometimes you can get things done in a short period of time doing that without needing, email is kind of clunky that way. The good thing about email is it can be archived. Skype chats aren't easily archived, even though some of the alternatives like Google Chat can. But the fact is, one size doesn't fit all. There's sometimes when, especially when you're working with long documents or people have long things to say, that email works, and sometimes when you want to have the online version of a face-to-face conversation, but people can join and leave as they wish when they're awake, sometimes some of these real-time chat tools have been very effective, at least in my experience. They don't work for everything, but one size isn't going to fit everything, every issue, every problem we have.
That's interesting. The beep came about 10 seconds after the timer went to zero. Yes. I think there are lots of tools and we need to try them. You know, personally, if you look at a Skype chat, if you haven't been around for 6 hours, the chat has gone on. It's wandered off in various social topics which are not necessarily relevant, and I find it very, very hard to scroll through it and to get the substance out of it. So it's fine for people who are there at the time. I'm not sure it's a good way to involve the community in general. Judith, one last comment. We're just about over time on this one.
Yes, just Judith Hellestein for the record. I also want to say we do, also in Navajo, use the mailing list if we want to do a quick discussion on a thing or get a quick approval from our members on a particular issue and the meeting is either happen or it's going to be too late for the discussion. So we do have short, quick discussions on our email list, as Alan will kind of testify. But we could do it more, but a lot of people don't think they get inundated with emails, and so we try to hold them to a meeting unless there's an urgent section. But if there was a wiki page set, we could tell people to quick up to either on Skype chat or saying, look at the wiki. That could also be something that we might want to look into.
And I just for the record, although I've said we rarely have substantive discussions on the various ALAC lists, we have been very successful on consensus calls and things like that of asking for opinions. We do tend to turn those around very quickly, and it's used very effectively. And I think that's reduced the number of votes we had and reduced the number of other things. So we have been doing that very well on the ALAC list, as Judith says, Naralo has. So that's part we have gotten down properly, so I thank you all for that. Any other comments last moment? Holly?
I have nothing further to say. Ooh. At the moment.
Then I turn it over to the leaders of the at-large review working party. I'm sorry, Holly. We have to revert and go back to the previous topic. Okay. Yes, sir.
No. I will not speak, but just to let you know that it was up since Holly was speaking.
And as I said, I'm learning, and I'm not always good at peripheral vision. Would you like to have an intervention? No? Okay. My apologies. We'll have a little place that I can put a dollar of whatever currency for the place we're in a cup every time I miss someone's card.
Holly Reich for the transcript records. Thank you very much. Could I have the next slide? Thank you. Every 5 years there is a review, and in fact, I'll get to that. We have started the process of review of, and I will say ALAC, but I'll get to point out it's more than that. We've started meetings we've had a meeting with Alan, we've had a meeting with Larissa, and Ray wasn't able to be there, but from the Structural Infrastructure Improvement Committee, I'll remember the acronym soon, to start off
Structural
process,
Improvement Committee, SIC, we're not allowed to call it the SIC.
But I'm mentally calling it the SIC, that's how I remember it. Structural Improvements, Larissa is working with Ray. They are part of the committee. Ray's on the board. We've had a start of a meeting and gone through these slides, which I will go through with everyone again. We did have a presentation sometime earlier in the week. But these are her slides. I will talk to them with the knowledge that we gain from meeting with her and some of the insights. The basic objective of the review is part of that larger objective of the board, which is sort of accountability and transparency. Number one, are we doing what we say we should be doing? Are we telling people about what we're doing? Are we transparent about what we were doing? Are we effective in what we do? The next statement is learn from the GNSR review. They've just completed a review. The final report's coming out, and they're learning the lessons from that. So we had a meeting included somebody named Jen Wolfe, who was sharing lessons with Cheryl and myself, which I will share with you. There were some insights as to how to, some of the things that they learned, and Cheryl has been involved in the 2009 review. So there's plenty of background information on what to do and what not to do. In terms of the process, actually, could I go about three slides up to talk about the process? That's it. Timelines. Let's go back to the timelines. There's a timeline for the review, for this review, which we'll go through here. Now, from now until June, there's a lot of the steps that have to be taken. The committee has to be formed. I'm leading it. Cheryl is right here, and we've already talked to some people who will be leading within their own RALO, and I would expect within each RALO there will be a group of people who will get together to assist the process. We also have to come up with, interestingly, with questions to be asked. What is it we want to ask? What is it we want to know about ourselves in terms of what will make us more efficient, more effective? And the third thing that will be happening from now till June, we have to have an independent examiner that is really the responsibility of the board, ICANN staff, to select an independent examiner. This is done on an open basis. There's an RFP that's called. There's a selection based on the tenders received. And in an earlier meeting this week, it was decided that the independent examiner who is selected will assist the team in looking at the questions, how they should be framed, how you actually elicit information from people, how you ask the questions, what questions to ask. The other input, which was interesting from Jen Wolfe on the GNSR review, was to say, we did not get all of the data that we thought we wanted. So we actually need, as ALAC, to be very clear about what data we want, but also to go more broadly, because it turned out they hadn't asked all the questions that they wound up thinking were necessary. So one of the cautions was, go more broadly. But then we run into a problem of, if you're asking people for information and to participate in a survey, there are some people who will fill out a whole survey and be really helpful, and there are some people who are really time-constrained. So what the GNSO did was have two surveys, a short one for the people who have no time, a longer one for those who really have the time and want to participate. Another issue that came up with the GNSO review was confidentiality. People don't necessarily want their names associated with comments they make. They may inhibit what they say. And the way around that, now all information that is gained will go to the independent examiner. And that's one of the reasons they're independent. They're not part of ICANN. So, in fact, they're not going to be influenced one way or another by who said what. But if people want to remain confidential in terms of having information that they give not attributed to them, they can say so, and their comments will remain confidential after the initial identification of themselves to the independent examiner. So there are a number of things that are going to happen between now and June. There is going to be, hopefully all of you will start to think, what questions, what are the things that you think, no, let me back up. the scope of the review. In 2009, the RALOs, the ALSs were fairly new concepts, and it was decided we could not look at the efficiency and effectiveness. Now we will. And in talking with Larissa and her email, she clarified the focus of this review is really going to be on the two tiers that we did not look at last time. That is not to say we're not going to look at, acknowledge, and perhaps address the outcomes of the 2009 review, because there are still some elements of issues that were identified in that review that if you look at the is something completed? There's a lot of things in that report, which I'm sure you're all going to read, that say completed. But some of them say completed and ongoing, which is a way of saying those things still need to be picked up as part of the review. But the focus is going to be on the RALOs and below that on the ALSs. So when you're thinking about the sorts of things, that information we should be looking at, those are the levels that we will be looking at. That said, all of you will be involved in thinking through what it is that we should be asking in terms of the structure, the effectiveness of the structure, what the mission is. Do the bylaws reflect our mission? Are we carrying out our mission? And yes, there are going to be things about metrics, and this is it's part of the conversation. It has to be part of the conversation. So from now till June, those are the sort of tasks that will be undertaken. One of the things that we decided would be really useful would be for me to talk to each RALO on one of their monthly calls between now and June to just explain what this is about, this particular review, what we would like all of you to do, to ask questions, but mainly to provide feedback, so that by the time we arrive at the sort of end of June first milestone, there will be an independent examiner in place. We will understand very well what information we're seeking. The third component of what will happen, and is starting to happen now, will be, in fact, maybe we can go to this. Can we go to the slide with the tasks in it? Who does what? That task. Okay, the structural improvement, I do say sick. The structural improvements committee, which is the high-level committee, they are the ones who will actually oversight this review. But essentially they're saying, we're watching you do this, we're not going to do it ourselves. There's a lot of tasks for the staff. You can read them. I suggest you go to the last column, because that's us. Assist with outreach, that means all of you. Contribute to the assessment, that's all of you. There'll be some interviews. I don't think we will be interviewing ourselves. I think we will suggest the questions, and there will be ways for people to be interviewed. And what happened with the GNSO review was the independent assessor actually came to LA and spent a lot of time talking to key people to make sure that the key people had been interviewed, had been talked to, and their feedback had formed part of the final report that's been developed. Our last task is to prepare an implementation plan. Now, there are timetables. We do have the GNSO report that has just been completed to have a look at to see what it looks like. Our implementation plan is going to look different because, in fact, it's not just we're not just reviewing ALAC. We're actually more focused on five parts of ALAC that have perhaps different organizational structures, different priorities, different issues. Those will have to be taken into account. And then when you get to the ALSs, you have a different set of issues again. So there are some lessons to be learned, but some lessons we're going to have to develop ourselves. Now, can I move a little bit backwards? Sorry. I'm being difficult. The process itself, the review, once we get to June, Olivier. See, I talk to people straight away.
Yeah, thanks very much, Holly. It's Olivier speaking. I'm a bit confused because on Sunday we spent an hour on that and we said pretty much the same thing. So I'm wondering
a lot of people weren't here.
Well, that's their problem because on Sunday everybody was supposed to be here.
Okay.
Sorry.
Fair comment.
May I interject? We're just a few minutes away from the end of the session and we want a little bit of time for some interaction.
I will assume
because the NomCom will be here soon.
I will assume then that everybody will go through these slides by themselves, and now's the time for any. I did answer questions sometime in the past. Are there questions before the NomCom's here? Ms. Langdon Orr.
Why, thank you, ma'am. Cheryl Langdon Orr.
Well, shut my mouth.
Cheryl Langdon Orr, for the record. And as you know, Holly and I are heading up this particular, I'm not even going to call it a task force, I think it's an adventure. So just to pick up on an action item that we now need the regions to attend to, right? We have interacted with key and clearly capable and interested people from the ALAC to ensure we have five members of the ALAC, one from each region, who can work as part of the work party to shepherd this process right from the very beginning of the scoping and interactions from now on, quite literally. But because it is a focus on the regional structures and the ALSs, RALO leaders, listen carefully. It is expected that you, as a leader, or your, note my words, regional delegate, will be a integral and essential and committed part. And if you can find us five names by the end of today, if not this week, we will appreciate it because that will then give us our 10-person committee and we can start running. And that's it from me.
You've got your orders. Olivier.
I defer to Alan because I think he had his card up before me.
Who's that person from Canada?
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. And it's Olivier speaking. And sorry for interrupting you, but I do have concerns. I mean, this is a very important process. We all agree. This is part of the organizational reviews that ICANN performs as part of its accountability. Without such reviews, this is what really sets ICANN apart from many other organizations out there. And we are an integral component part of ICANN. The last set of reviews, and I had just arrived at the time. I was still a newcomer, still bright and happy and whatever, and I still had black hair or brown hair rather than white. But the last time, I was quite baffled to start with, and I know there are quite a few newcomers here who might be a bit baffled about this. Please read the PowerPoint presentation. It's important, and we need the support and the involvement of everyone in at large, because this is how we manage to improve ourselves as well. Not only improve ICANN, not only be accountable, but also improve ourselves. And the number of recommendations that came out of the first at large review at the time was absolutely incredible and really brought the ALAC from version 1 to version 2. And what we're looking for here is then now to bring to the next version after that and be even better and more effective, etc. Thank you.
Mr. Greenberg.
Thank you very much. Just what I think is a clarification, unless someone disagrees with me, the intended focus of this review is at large below the ALAC level. But just as the intended focus of the GNSO review was not to be a reorganization of the council, because there were significant comments along the way, that was taken, that was removed from being out of scope. And as such, issues with the ALAC, if someone believes there are egregious issues or things that must be fixed, are not out of scope, that it's not the intended focus. And I'll give one example. There have been a number of people around this table who say this review, given the maturity of At Large and ALAC, should be the opportunity to suggest a second board member. If that were to come out in the discussion, it would not be out of scope, just because it's not RALO ALS focused. Just a comment.
Alan, that's why I said now is critical, because between now and June, we have an opportunity to put everything on the table and say this is the sort of thing we want to do. Remember the focus is below ALAC. But put it all on the table, because now's the time to actually establish how wide you want the data set. If once you start collecting the data, you don't want then to discover that you've got issues that you hadn't even thought about.
Thank you, Holly. I now turn the session over to Stefan as the chair of the NOMCOM, the esteemed chair of the NOMCOM.
Oh, let's not go too far.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Alan. As an esteemed chair of ALAC, thanks for welcoming us. My name is Stefan van Gelder. I have with me, just so that everyone knows who I am, I have with me my esteemed co-leadership team members, one of which you might know, I don't know. But I have Ron Andruff here, the chair-elect, and Cheryl Langdonor, who is the associate chair. Sorry. I also have with me in the room, you'll recognize us by our red lanyards, some of the members of the committee. As you know, ALAC and the at-large community is well served with 5 seats on the NOMCOM, and some of them are in here. I see Louis, Julio, Sylvia. John is also on the NOMCOM, but Satish, Fatimata, full house, and Leon, who is one of our good appointments, I think.
Yeah, that gets a hell yes.
So I just wanted to give you a few facts and figures about the current cycle. The idea of us meeting is to tell you where we're at, because we're still in the application period, to also encourage you to help us do some outreach. So if I can ask for, I've got a very short presentation, if I can ask for the first slide to be put up. If I don't know if Gisela, you have the slides or not. Perfect. Just to give you an idea of whom we're recruiting for this year, we're looking for 3 members of the board, 3 members of ALAC, and those are obviously by region. So we're looking for 1 member for Africa, 1 member from the Asia-Pac region, and 1 Latin America. 2 voting members of the GNSO Council and 1 member of the CCNSO Council. Next slide, please. I just wanted to, as the next slide comes up, give you an idea of the way the board is currently divided in geo-regions and tell you about some of the limitations that we have as a NOMCOM in our work, in our recruitment work. If you look to the right of your screen there, you'll see that one of the regions is heavily oversubscribed. Asia-Pacific already has 5 board members from that region. That means that we cannot this year select anyone from the Asia-Pac region to the board. But on the other hand, if you look to the other side of your screen, you'll see that North America, Africa, Latin America, they are undersubscribed, and Europe still has 1 seat open. So on those regions, if you know of anyone that might be interested for board work, please do help us. You can still, they can still get in, no problem. Next slide, please. This is our timeline. You've seen this before, I'm sure. Most of you are familiar now with the NOMCOM process. You know that we're currently in the application phase of our work. So up until mid-March, people can apply and be considered for one of the positions that I outlined earlier on. And then we'll go into the assessment phase, which will end in the Buenos Aires meeting week, where we will do our deliberations and decide who our 2015 slate is. And next slide, please, just to give you a snapshot of where we are today. Important clarification, what you're looking at here is the number of people that have applied for an application form. So they've made an application request. They still have some work to do to complete their application, so it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll all be in the running. But so far, you can see that we have a majority of people that have named the board as their first choice, 43. We've got 11 people that have named GNSO as their first choice, 15 people that have named ALAC as their first choice, and 8 people that have named the CCNSO as their first choice. Let me just explain that the choices. People can apply and say, I'm mostly interested in the board, but you can also consider me for other positions. And if they do that, so if they say, I want to be considered for the board, but I'm also prepared to be considered for ALAC, then we can do so. If they don't, they just run for the board, and we think they might be good ALAC candidates. We can't put them in that position. So it's important, if you're going out there explaining to people your contacts, your networks, that they should apply, please do help them understand that part of our process, that you know, it's always good to apply for more than one position if you think that's a good fit for you. I'll just end with, on the next slide, you've got some links, and perhaps just turn it over to, I'm sure Cheryl has some things she'd like to say, and Ron maybe, and answer any of your questions. Thanks. Ron.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, everyone, for giving us the time to go through all of this. And as our Chair has explained, we have a number of you, and many of you, that are all very familiar faces to me, having worked with you on the NONCOM or in the past or continuing. So you're one of the groups that really has a very good understanding of what we're doing. As Stefan pointed out, in terms of board, Asia-Pac is complete. But that's not to say that you may not have contacts and people of that in Asia Pacific who are board quality people that could very well be invited to join and be to apply for GNSO, ALAC, CCNSO, and so forth. As an example, Dan Reed, who's currently on GNSO Council, was certainly board quality. And Dan, now serving in the GNSO Council, enables him to get a very clear understanding of this animal called ICANN, how we work, what we're trying to achieve, where the risks are for the institution, and so forth. So that will enable him that if he ever applies then for the board at a future time, because the dynamics change year by year, as many of you know who've served. And so that will enable him, if he were to choose to be a candidate, to actually step in and serve 3 strong years, as opposed to 1 year to learn, second year to get up to speed, and by the third year, when their term is coming to a completion, when they're really effective. So think about that in terms of what we're trying to do. So not just for ALAC, but also CCNSO, GNSO. If you saw that slide that Stefan put up, you'll see that we only have about 8 candidates right now for, I think, CCNSO and 11 for the other. Those are low numbers that we really like to see in this last month, and that's really when the push comes, as we know, to see if we can get more candidates in so that the members of the committee really have a great pool in each category to work with. So we really look to the community for you to think about your Rolodexes, the people you might know that would really bring something to the party, because we're going to be going through these next 3 years with a lot of board changes, a lot of Fadi Shahadi's contract comes to an end in 2017. So there's a lot of what I'll call seismic changes that could occur to the institution. So we really need to find leaders and bring that new blood into the organization. So I just wanted to underscore what our chair has said. Please give some thought to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdonor. Hi, my name is Cheryl Langdonor. No, I don't have to do that here, do I? Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record, however, because we are going out in five languages and our transcripts sound a bit frenetic if we don't have our names. You should have, and indeed, when you get your microphone back, I would encourage you to do so. However, there's no Australian interpretation provided, so I'll just have to struggle with my attempts at English. The spiel that we would normally give in the other rooms is, of course, the success story of sending quality people to, for example, the ALAC, and having you, the ALAC, send them on, for example, to the board. I don't need to do that pitch here. So the pitch I want to do here is because we need people who are going to be committed, effective, and pretty well hit the ground running in the seats we're providing you, but also in the seats that we're going to be providing into the board, into the GNSO and into the CCNSO, I think it would be very valuable for you to think of what core characteristics and criteria, perhaps beyond those ones that are listed on our wiki page, when you're reaching out. I mean, obviously, this network here, along with, of course, the constituencies in the GNSO, are a perfect fodder for the type of people who want to come in and get to be a leader and a thought leader within ICANN. But if you've got people who are interested in policy, then please put their names forward. I think we do need to up the respectability and the desirability of the non-board seats, and it's you in your coffee breaks and your elevator chats and in the meetings you have outside ICANN who can help to instigate that change. But we need people who are, as you know, because you've experienced people appointed by prior NOMCOMs who have not performed. We need people who can commit to perform. And at that point, I just wanted to take a moment and say, for example, in addition to the huge amount of work you all know you all do, right, with Leon taking the leadership role in the CCWG, that is an additional, just on that topic alone, minimum 8 hours of commitment. I'm glad he's not billing us because, you know, his law firm, you know, he'd be making some money. Do you see what I mean? That's the level of commitment. Step up and shine. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. So if there are any questions from any of you, we'll try and answer them. Oh, that means yes. You want to ask questions, does it? Oh, okay, sorry. Olivier?
Thank you very much, Stéphane. Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. And can we go back in your presentation down to the current breakdown of the board, please?
It's slide two, if you want. Yeah. No, it's the other one, the next one.
Okay, thank you. So we have 15 people at the moment on the board. What the graphic doesn't show is who is leaving or who might be leaving, what seats are currently under discussion. You might wish to have this graphic without the three members that need to be renewed.
Yeah, we
because if it was all three Asia-Pacific members, for example, then you might wish to have someone from Asia-Pacific. So at the moment, that doesn't help much. Thank you.
Okay, right. Yeah. We do have that, and what we're working on, and that's an excellent opportunity for me to highlight the important and excellent quality work that the nominating committee has undertaken for a few years now, ever since Urio's leadership, and obviously he's a well-known quantity here as well. But we really have worked very hard, Urio, Cheryl, myself, and I'm sure Ron will be taking up that mantle as well, to increase the level of information the NOMCOM is providing. And on the website, these kind of infographics will go to the website. We're trying to provide more information to people on the website. We're doing video interviews regularly to tell people in the community and outside the community where we're at. We're providing information. For example, to your question, we have some people this year that are up for renewal. And as you know, the NOMCOM selects 8 members of the board, and we rotate. So those are staggered terms, and every year we don't always fill 3 seats. But we're working, and Cheryl's been heavily involved in that as well, helping me and ICANN staff to build up these infographics so that information is there.
Thank you, Stefan. I hope I haven't interrupted you. It's Olivier speaking. So the question is, what seats are under consideration at the moment, please?
I can take that if you like. So with Wolf, this year, the seats that are up for renewal would be Wolfgang Klein-Vector, Gonzalo Navarro, and George Sadowski. But I should also point out that if you can't just take those individuals, you'd also have to look at the mix. CCNSO Mike Silber's term, his seat would be perhaps renewed or gone. And Ray Falzak, ASO.
No. Mike's will be.
Mike Silber's will be renewed. It's been confirmed it will be renewed.
Okay. So that's the point. So these are the other dynamics, just so that you're aware.
Plus the dynamics that Ron mentioned earlier on in terms of leadership changes as well. So when we do our work and, after the close of the application period, we've got this slate to look at, we also, as leadership, tell the NOMCOM to look at those dynamics and look further ahead, because it's not only about the choices we're making this year, it's also, how will that sit with, for example, a hypothetical CEO change in 2017. Oh, he's got a... Stop.
Thank you again. From what I know, indeed, yes. So Mike Silber has been renewed by the CCNSO, I believe. Ray Polzak has announced that he will not be seeking re-election, and therefore that would take away one more candidate from North America. Gonzalo Navarro's seat being under consideration, that I would guess the NOMCOM would have absolutely to reappoint from someone from Latin America and Caribbean. In any way. I mean, I'm not sure if there is any... Is the board allowed not to have someone from one of the regions of the world? I wasn't quite sure whether that was a hard-coded thing. And finally, with the Asia-Pacific and Australasia apart, of course, that would mean it's pretty much a waste of time to look for anyone from that part of the world.
Yeah, just for the record, there's a maximum number, there's a minimum number of one. The ACs and SOs have to name their replacement prior to the NOMCOM doing their selection. So whether Ray leaving takes one off North America depends on whether he's replaced by a North American. That's set before the NOMCOM has to make their decision. So we don't have to worry about that in this group.
So the snapshot you're looking at now is a snapshot of now, and that's the only information we can work on now. But that may change in the future. Judith.
Yes, this is Judith Hellestein for the record. I'm glad Olivia raised those points, because I was also wondering what dynamics and which people we needed to recruit and what areas. So if you could provide that, if you could, or a way that we could see what it is that you're looking for. And are you also looking at gender diversity as well as geographic diversity?
sorry, if I may, more than just gender diversity, but all diversity, yeah, geographic, right. Language, okay. Cultural, but regardless of that, it is a meritocracy that wins out.
Right. No, I just was curious about that. And then also, since I'm more newest here, question is, so there are board seats from ALAC, and then there's, you also is the points that you were talking about the CCNSO, is that liaisons to that, or what is, and I'm this low.
So, sorry, when you say board seats from ALAC, so what we're discussing is the parts of the board that are selected by the nominating committee. There are other paths into the board, but we're not talking about them. And to your question on CCNSO and GNSO Council, they are not liaisons, they are council members. There may be some voting issues. So, for example, on the GNSO Council, there are three NCA non-com appointees, and only two of them vote. But because the terms are staggered, we don't always elect the same people. But we decide if they go into a voting position or not. Does that help?
It's Judith again. I have a the follow-up. I guess I'm a little...
Excuse me.
This is quick.
No. We're way over time already. We'd be glad to do a private tutorial afterwards to get you up to speed on that.
The chair having spoken, I will... And you want to, yeah.
I do have a personal intervention. Thank you for pointing out how important it is for us to provide you with the information on what we are expecting from ALAC members. I would suggest it's also important for you to actually post it on the web so other people can see it. Thank you.
It is.
Not at this very moment.
No,
as I look
we're
at
working
it.
On it, as you know, Alan, but it is... to be on the website, or at least what we do is we put the skill sets from the organizations that send us skill sets, and ALAC's always been very good at sending us skill sets. So that's been worked on. We're just updating the data, but it's on or soon to be on the website.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. If there are no further questions, thank you for your time. Always a pleasure. And there is another question, and we're going to ask Olivier to ask the question in French, just to make it a bit more fun.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say bravo to all the people from the NOMCOM. They're coming from the ALAC community. You are a member of ARELO.
Merci d'avoir rappelé ça.
Thank you very much to remind me of that. I should have said it earlier, maybe. But it is my pleasure to have been through that adventure with the creation of a group representing users in Europe. So thank you very much, Olivier, for reminding me of that. So, Stéphane, Tijani speaking, this is very good.
Thank you very much.
My alter ego says I have to announce that the session is over, and of course thank the interpreters and staff for helping us do this. The Accessibility Task Force will reconvene here in 6 minutes. And for those who are on the accessibility working group, rather, not task force, AP RELO meeting at 1:30, and we reconvene at 2:30. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.